Question 1. Why does recruiting matter? Mini exercise. Take a moment to write down two or three words that describe recruiting to you. In my 5 or so years as a recruiting coach, I often ask people in my sessions to answer this question. So I'll ask the listener of this book to quickly follow the exercise as well. Write down maybe two words that you think describe recruiting. Whenever I ask this question, I see a lot of negative responses. I see words like dishonest, false narratives, pushy, stalking, and so on. There are many negative narratives associated with recruiting. Where is this negative narration coming from? In order to start us all from the place of a shared language and understanding, we will occasionally pause to provide definitions and explanations, such as the following. What do we mean when we say recruiting leader? Recruiting. Recruiting leader. Proper noun. A leader who is managing a team and then is also responsible for recruiting to that team. A recruiting leader in my field reached out with an exciting opportunity. According to the definition above, there are approximately 54,500 recruiting leaders in the mortgage industry alone, where I served. That's 54,500 branch managers, sales managers, etc. That's anyone who leads a team and is in charge of recruiting for that team. There are also about 6,800 internal recruiters and 7,200 external recruiters in the industry. If we consider all the industries that exist outside of simply mortgages, there are likely to be upwards of millions of recruiting leaders across the United States right now. A search for recruiters on LinkedIn alone brings up over 2 million results. Immediately, when looking at these numbers, we're likely to think, wow, that's a lot of noise. With that much noise, it's only natural that we have some negative connotations with recruiting. If every installment in an orchestra started blaring at once, people would likely call that noisy too and feel negatively about it. On the other hand, a violin soloist playing well is something we'll immediately identify as music. I'll go even further with this metaphor. An amateur playing the violin will only make screeches and noise. An expert is the one who will make something beautiful. Any of those instruments within the orchestra are capable of making a racket or making a song. The negative connotations associated with recruiting are the result of focusing on the noise rather than the music. Still, with as many recruiting leaders as there are, it can be hard to cut through all that noise to find where the real magic is happening. So it's no surprise that many recruiting leaders don't even recognize themselves as such. Many people prefer to keep their title simply as leader and ignore their role's recruiting aspect. When we have negative connotations towards something, we tend to run away from it. We avoid the restaurant with bad reviews. We avoid the real estate agent with a bad reputation. We avoid the noise. Our negative connotation toward recruiting is fairly weak. Ask anyone to explain why they think recruiting is dishonest or stalkerish. They probably won't have a great answer, but that weak connotation is still enough to make many leaders avoid it. I hear this all the time in my coaching. I don't really like to recruit. Recruiting is hard. I don't have time to recruit. We'll be addressing these individual complaints some more, but they all come back to that negative perception of recruiting. So people don't want to run toward it because they think it's bad. Let's go back a moment though. That very idea, that we avoid negative things and run toward positive things, is precisely why recruitment is such a powerful aspect of leadership. It's also why recruiting goes far beyond something as simple as deceiving someone. The Great Resignation of 2021 taught us a lot. Here are some brief data points. 1. If their pay and purpose don't align, millennials in particular, who will make up 75% of our workforce by 2025, are perfectly willing to walk. 2. 80% of job seekers say that an employer's reputation is important to them when choosing a job. 3. 90% of them are more likely to apply for a position with an organization that maintains its employer brand. 4. 1 in 3 people have rejected a job offer because of a bad online review. What does this mean? It means that recruiting is about much more than its negative connotations, and it's about much more than just signing the most contracts and bringing in the most producers. It's about what I call attractive leadership. Attractive. Attractive leader. A proper noun. A leader who communicates what they believe, where they are going, and why they are committed to it so clearly that they magnetize people to their cause, idea, and team. People avoid things or people that they feel negatively toward. But when people feel positively towards something or someone, they run toward it. To put it simply, effective and meaningful recruitment means this. You want people to feel positively about you, the recruiter. In practice, that's much more complicated. Attractive leadership starts by drawing in talent who can contribute to your team and retaining them by helping them gain a sense of value and purpose as a member. This is why recruiting is so vital to leadership. Attractive leadership, and its role in recruiting, is a matter of establishing your vision, values, why. These are the core principles of what we call attractive leadership. These ideas are where leadership and recruiting don't just overlap, but inform each other. When you become a better recruiter, you become a better leader. Why? Because you can choose to attract and recruit top talent, not by chasing them down, but by drawing them in through your own strong principles and leadership. When I started 4C, I defined them as the following. Vision. I wanted to create a company that would coach recruiting leaders and support them in both tangible and intangible ways as they embark on one of the most difficult aspects of leadership. Values. These are the core values that guide your team and how you run your business. One example I always used when building teams was this. We treat each other better than our best friends. When I was a recruiter, I signed many top producers, only to find that they didn't align with the core values of the team I was trying to build within 2 or so years. In that case, I had to cut them from the team once they'd exhausted their chances for change. In other cases, people themselves chose to leave when they found that they didn't align with the spirit of what I was doing as a leader. These principles allowed me to build teams that really did treat each other with respect, care, and genuine kindness. This commitment to values and communication is exactly what recruitment is about, and these principles go way beyond the knee-jerk negative reactions we have when we hear the word recruit. These core values will be different for everyone. For me, a family environment in a team is important, but it won't be important to everyone. We all have to choose our own principles in how we build a team. It is vital to establish and codify your values early on. That way, you and your team can hold each other accountable to these values. When a team member does not stay true to this value, for instance, they gossip, send cruel emails when things go wrong, or otherwise fail to treat everyone better than a best friend, I know it's time to revisit the values I have previously shared with them. Why? When I started 4C, I asked myself, why would you do this if there wasn't a paycheck attached? Several motivators drive the things we do. These are divided into 2 categories, extrinsic motivators and intrinsic motivators. Extrinsic motivators are easy to identify. These are things like money, titles, and other outer forces that drive us to desire achievement of the stereotypical markers of success. In a way, these are the tip of the iceberg. In my coaching, I often see clients who feel worn down and uninspired in their career. And it's usually because only extrinsic motivators drove them. And once those extrinsic motivators have either been reached or run out, they have nothing left to light their fire. If money was all that was driving you, it's hard to know what to want once you make 7 figures a year. Intrinsic motivators are the bottom 90% of the iceberg. They come from within us and can be much harder to see, but they also run much deeper. These are the guiding principles within our souls that drive us to do better and be more. For instance, when I asked myself, why would you do this if there wasn't a paycheck attached, I realized that I didn't just want to be successful, I wanted to be useful to the people I served. That deep desire I spoke of drove me to help leaders and my team become everything they want to be. These are the values that stay with me through the great times and the difficult times alike. They're the kind of values that inspire a person to stay up all night to fix a problem or do more for others. Finding your why. Over the past 5 years of coaching more than 1,200 recruiting leaders, I have come to this conclusion. Few leaders are truly passionate about what they do. I have seen the disconnect that stems from having no vision for where they are going, no clarity around their core values, and no understanding of the intrinsic why for what they do for work. People connect to people. They connect to someone who establishes their vision, what they will do, their values, how they plan to do it, and their why. What drives them to do this? When I started 4C Recruiting, I sat down and created a document called Why I Do What I Do. Nowadays, our whole team calls it Why We Do What We Do. Every day, I'm happy that I had the foresight to create this document to serve as a guidepost for why I stayed up all those nights, why we're all here, and why we are so committed to our work and to each other. It helps us see our trouble and treasure clearly, and reminds us that the treasure is always greater than the trouble. This document is part of what attractive leadership is all about. The attractive leader doesn't chase people down. Instead, they draw people to them through a genuine connection to these principles. To that end, here's another exercise. I don't want to build it up too much, but this may be one of the most important exercises of your career.